From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
There's a video circulating now, whether it's accurate or not, I don't know, but I would encourage everybody in this room and frankly, everybody across the country to take a look at it.
That was the Deputy White House spokesperson, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, at a press conference at the White House on Tuesday.
I think if it is accurate, I think it's a disgrace to all of media, to all of journalism. If the media can't be trusted to report the news, then that's a dangerous place for America.
Huckabee Sanders was referring to a video made by Project Veritas that featured CNN's health supervising producer John Bonnefeld admitting the network's craze over the alleged Trump-Russia collusion was, in his words, BS, only he used the full term. Bonnefield is not involved in the channel's political coverage, but said on tape that CNN has no evidence to support its Russia-Trump narrative, which he said was driven mostly by the desire for ratings and the earnings that those ratings produce.
All the nice, cutesy little ethics that used to get talked about in journalism school, you're just like, that's adorable. That's adorable. Yeah, this is a business. Especially cable news. They got to do what they got to do to make their money.
For more on all that, we spoke with Peter Laveau, who's the host of RT's program Crosstalk, via Skype from Moscow Wednesday. Well, wow, CNN caught with its pants down, and not just with its pants down, but wearing no underwear.
Well, Don, I mean, when I first saw this, a number of things came to my mind. Number one, I told you so. We've been saying this for month after month after month, to the point I just got bored with the story. On my program Crosstalk, I even told my viewers, we're going to go to do real news because right. There's so many important things going on right now.
Right.
My other thought is that CNN would blow it off and the mainstream would just look red-faced. But because of the internet, because of people like ourselves, we're not going to let it go. Joe Loria, a mutual friend of ours on Facebook just an hour ago, and he is such a great journalist, real old school. He has worked so hard on debunking all of these stories. And he is he has an amazing resume, but because he doesn't take the right line, doesn't peddle the line of the authorities, he's been marginalized. A really, truly great journalist. And he just had this, you know, exhale of, wow, I'm not crazy. We're not crazy. This is what it actually fits perfectly to what we've been saying all along.
Yep. Yeah, it's the whole thing. I mean, for people who aren't really following it or haven't seen it all yet, because it's something you have to dig into a little bit. They got caught basically, first of all, faking. You know, there was a story that was so ridiculous. All of this having to do with Russia, by the way, so-called Russiagate. It supposedly involved, money backflowing from Russia to Trump, you know, another one of these things. It turned out to be complete fabrication. It was based on information from one source that wasn't verified. The source turned out to be full of nonsense. And then these guys are apparently asked to leave. They resign. There's an interview of some CNN people where one of the senior people there is describing one of the executives, the CEO, as a matter of fact, and saying, first of all, that the entire Russia story was BS. They used the full term from the get-go, that there was no serious evidence, that if there was any evidence at all, it would have leaked out by now, that they're not concerned about the facts or the truth. But only the money that they're making, and that it's a business and not some kind of, you know, journalistic haven or whatever that we're talking about. And, of course, that's how it should be. That's basically what was revealed about what's going on at CNN.
I agree with all of that, but I think there's also another element, and that's ideology.
Yeah.
This is an ideological pitch. And they have enormous resources, not just CNN, but they have the deep state. And CNN is the first news outlet, probably next to the Washington Post, that when the deep state wants to screw up someone's life or purvey misinformation, disinformation, they go to CNN. I mean, they're their first stop, and they're perfectly willing to do it. And this is a perfect example of what has happened over the last 20, 30 years, is that we don't get news anymore. That's why people are listening to this broadcast, because the main networks, they are purveyors of ideology. And I am a very conservative person. There's many things that I watch on Fox that I tend to agree with because of my conservatism. When it comes to foreign policy, absolutely not. But CNN, to its core, and it only has one competitor in television, and that's MSNBC. And you can look at the data. 93% of all of the broadcasting related to Trump is negative. Well, you know, I can understand people not liking Donald Trump. Half the country doesn't. Okay, I can agree with that. But why they've taken on this to be their mission to demonize and to delegitimize? Because when they're this demonization and this approach to delegitimize, they're doing both to journalism, Don. They're doing it to journalism.
Yep.
They're doing it
to
institutions. Trump will come and go, but they're destroying institutions. And who's going to be next in line? Then they get to destroy with impunity. I would point out with impunity. So this is a very important story that should be given special attention, because it shows the cancer, the serious cancer that is in journalism today. And if people are not informed about their life around them, then we get people taking a firearm and going after a congressman. It doesn't matter if they're Democrats or GOP. These are elected officials. And this is what I'm getting at when I'm talking about institutions.
You know, one of the things that's really troubling about this is not only, I mean, it's bad enough that you have what people perceive to be, news outlets acting, just as 24/7, political hit squads or whatever. But the real thing, as bad as that is intrinsically, the real thing is that while they're using the airtime to do this, they're not reporting the news. And there is, as you mentioned, so much important news that needs to be reported that's just not being reported.
Yep.
And that, I think, is something that's even getting lost in the discussion, out in the media sphere today about this incident.
Well, when we agreed to talk today, it came to my mind that you have certain areas of knowledge in the news sphere that you focus on and you're an expert on. The same applies to myself. Russia would be one of them. I think Syria would be another one in my case, the greater Middle East in general. And every time I watch these liberal stations in the United States on topics that I know something about, it's what they say is complete fiction.
Right.
It's just really nonsense. And so it begs the question, so what about the things I'm not well informed about? And I hear it from them. You see what I'm getting at? I mean, if you take two or three specializations that you may know or I may know and say, well, they get it completely wrong or upside down or don't even report on it. And then what about everything else they report? And I think this is what's really dangerous here. It's advocacy. It is ideology. And we need news to make judgments about life. I mean, you and I are of the generation that on Sunday morning, we're still probably in our jammies and we watch, Face the Nation and stuff like that. And there was a debate. It was a real legitimate debate because what they had was in those days is that everybody more or less had the same facts. You could interpret the facts. What do these facts mean? And honest people can do that. But what we have now is that we have an evidence-free environment. This is very dangerous. We have the American people, for one reason or another, voted for Donald Trump. And I believe it was on his populist message of three things: jobs, jobs, jobs. And this is what people want. And we see again, we see the Democratic Party and we see the liberal mainstream media in a completely different bubble. All they ever do is talk to themselves. They don't talk to me. They don't talk to you. They don't talk to the flyover states. And this is the crisis of information right now, because CNN is so compromised. And you and I have known it for a very long time. And for our listeners, probably the seminal event that we all can talk about is the illegal invasion of Iraq in 2003. And that doing that in the way they did it brought about what we have today, because facts don't matter. The truth doesn't matter. And like I said earlier, of course, the bottom line is important, but CNN is still tails all of its trails, all of its peers with its bogus message. OK, so others do better. Some of them do the same thing, and others a mixture of things. But, you know, I would say to CNN, is this really a winning proposition for you? I mean, just this one issue? It's bewildering.
Well, and the problem, again, that I see, the immediate driver of it, I guess, is the fact that, I guess it's illustrated by this fact, which came out of this in the process of this story, the discussion that was had with this journalist from CNN, or this guy from CNN. The money was driving a lot of it. This, the ideological affinity, absolutely, that's the context, and you know that is the prerequisite that it fits into the ideological mold. And then the money driving it. Now, the economics of the news channels and of the, I guess, news outlets in general in the United States, but certainly cable TV news and the news departments, revolve around a four-year cycle that is tied to the presidential elections. They viewership during the presidential election, the leap year, whatever, it generates the ad revenue that sustains it for, you know, till the next general election. That's normally the economics of it. But apparently, as they've been biting into this Russiagate stuff and the beating up on Trump and whatever else is balled into that, their viewership is actually up over last year. And so, it's not really journalism, it's a business perspective. You know, well, what we're doing is perfectly justified because, you know, we're making more money than we did last year, and that's about, period.
Yeah, that's the political economy of empire.
That's right. That's right. Everything is self-financing. Sales, all of that.
Exactly. And having a new Cold War with Russia fits that business model perfectly.
Right. Yep.
Perfectly. And what I don't like, you know, as for me, as an American living abroad for a very long time now, they play upon CNN and MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times. They play upon what is called American exceptionalism, which is the legitimizing ideology motif for empire. And that means, you know, if you had invested $1,000 in McDonnell Douglas and these other arms dealers in, you know, the 2000, I think your money would have been 1,000% more.
Yeah.
I mean, it works that way. And CNN is a great a purveyor of this ideology of empire. And it's very much smiled upon. I mean, they get all these quote unquote anonymous sources. I mean, how many anonymous sources are going over to Fox? Not too many. OK, I mean, no, but this is what's happened to journalism, because it's no longer a separate estate. It's been fused in with the deep state.
That's right.
So
that's right.
CNN is just the PR arm of the deep state. And the deep state doesn't have American national interests at heart. If they did, they wouldn't be in Syria. I mean, how does that advance American security? It simply doesn't. Picking a fight with the Russians over Ukraine, it has nothing to do with American national security. Oh, sure, selling arms to people, of course, okay? And so that tips the scales in many ways. But, you know, if you look at CNN and its whole modus operandi, it is the conveyor belt of an imperial mindset, and it is very, very coherent, and that's why it continues and it maintains itself and even grows. And that's what's very dangerous for the American people, because it doesn't, for the average Joe and Jane, it doesn't create a job for them. You might get your kid in the military for a war that doesn't necessarily need to be fought, but it keeps so many people employed. And Donald Trump is not trusted with the keys to the kingdom. So you can see how this is all multifaceted, how it fits together, okay? If Hillary Clinton had been elected and she said, we need to get out of the Middle East, you know what, Don? They'd be doing the same thing to her.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, looking at CNN, for example, like the historical development of it, if you go back to 1991, the first invasion of Iraq, there was a qualitative change in the way that the media here covered that in the first place. And CNN kind of cut its teeth at that point in time as like the spokesperson for Empire. You had Storm and Norman and all these characters. They were like almost cartoon characters, you know.
All the computer graphics, that's when all these computer, look at our beautiful airplanes, look at our beautiful missiles, remember that?
Yep, Wolf Blitzer and all these people come to the fore as, some sort of arbiters of reality instead of, well, this guy came out of AIPAC and that guy was selling stuff in the Jerusalem Post or whatever, and instead they're writing the history of the moment. And you have that story about the babies in the incubators, for example. It turned out to be a complete fabrication by a PR firm and the daughter of the emir in Kuwait. And, that was, CNN was one of the main vehicles of that story, New York Times, Washington Post, et cetera. Then you saw some other examples of, a much lighter touch during most of Clinton's presidency. But with the 9/11 incident, you again saw like this really bizarre like unanimity. You had the embedding also, by the way, that started with the first Iraq war, but then when they did the second Iraq war, it was the same thing. And there was those two events, 9/11 and the second Iraq war, come in the aftermath of the 96 Telecommunications Act and the huge mergers across the board. So you had operational control of much larger chunks of it.
Don, when you mentioned the first Iraq, the second one, the 2003 illegal invasion, I think your viewers would find this interesting. Probably the greatest, foremost geopolitical thinker right now in academia is John Mearsheimer at the University of Chicago. And he would be what we would call, he comes from the realist school of international relations.
Right.
And the buildup to the second Iraq war, he was asked on the major networks to be part of a debate, a discussion. And he just said, this is nonsense. This is catastrophic. What is being contemplated is one of the most unrealistic, unfounded political decision in international relations. And you know what? Here's a guy. Anyone that studies international relations reads his books. I mean, you can't dismiss the quality of his academic work, as long as it doesn't touch on Israel and Iraq and invasions, but I mean on theory. And so here's this preeminent figure, and he's been blacklisted ever since. He's been blacklisted.
Yep.
And he is one of the foremost thinkers of international relations thinking. It's extraordinary. That we do not get to hear other sides. That's why you and I do what we do. I mean, I've had John Mearsheimer on my program, and he was on with Stephen Cohen. I mean, it was one of the great moments in my television career. And they both just, they didn't see each other, but they said, my goodness, we're both dissenters for very different reasons. And we find ourselves on a Russian television station. They both found that really quite bewildering before we started rolling the cameras.
Right.
But that's what it's gotten down to.
Yeah, it's the same for me. I remember, for example, the day that Fidel Castro passed away, and I was I don't know, maybe after midnight here in New York when I found out, and I was contacted by one of the news producers in Moscow for RT, and asked me if I wanted to comment on his passing and on on his life. And it occurred to me at that moment, in 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis, I was hiding in the hallways at school during the drills that we had, because Russian missiles from Cuba might blow us up. And here I was being asked to comment on the passing of Fidel Castro, not by any American media outlet, but by one based in Moscow. And so I said, I'm really tired. I shouldn't wake up and do an interview right now, but I how can I not do this? And you look at the third party presidential debates, for example, here, RT carries those. Not, they can't even get C-SPAN to carry those, okay? Which, let alone MSNBC or CNN or Fox or all of them, or CBS or NBC or ABC, which ABC, of course, has like 20 times the audience, I think, of CNN. I don't know if people are aware of those kinds of numbers, but, nobody will cover it. And so RT covers it. And these same people that are holding hearings about Russian interference in the American election, if you look at the factual basis, it's because, some Russian media outlet decided that they would cover a debate by all of the ballot status candidates that no other American media outlet will cover.
Don, you can correct me if I'm wrong. We can do a fact check on this later. But from what I remember, up to 2/3 of Americans asked, depending on how the question was formed, would like to see more coverage of third-party candidates in elections.
You're correct.
They think that's equitable. That's fair. That's that kind of an old-school sense of fairness.
Right.
We've come at it from a very different trajectory right now. But the essence of it is, in when we put it all together, is that CNN and others like them, they want their monopoly. See, this is what drives them nuts about you other media, is that we're infringing upon their monopoly. If RT had been around when Yugoslavia was being pulled apart and destroyed, and we had had our correspondents on the ground that can speak the language, know the history, know the ethnic groups and the different ones and everything else, there could have been a very different picture. It might have been very different. RT and other media have played an important role in flipping the story in Syria. CNN and others get Russia really, really wrong, but they get Syria completely upside down. And it's extraordinary how they've been able to do that.
Right.
It's really amazing.
Black
is white, white is black when it comes to Syria, and it's because of people like CNN.
That's why I think it's bewildering to so many people watching what is happening right now with Trump and Nikki Haley and all of that, because they have no factual basis to understand these different things. First of all, they barely mention Syria anymore, unless it's, we think that Trump might like Assad, so let's impeach Trump. And otherwise, Trump, Russia. No time for Syria.
They have themselves to blame. Remember, everyone, all of our dear listeners, who built up Donald Trump? Okay? It wasn't the Republican Party. No way. It was the Democrats, and it was CNN and MSNBC. He was their buffoon, and they loved reporting upon him. Every goof, every gaffe, and there were plenty of goofs, and there were plenty of gaffes.
Yep.
Now they helped get him elected. I mean, as I've said to British media, American media, other media that have asked me, because they like to do the pre-interview before the interview, meaning in my case, the interview almost never happens, because I tell them, why don't you look in a mirror? Your questions to me are stupid. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to think about it. Okay. And by the time I'm into, we have an exchange for like 2 or 3 minutes. They say, "Well, I got to run," and I'm not on, because I'm not going to say what they want to hear. They do that all the time. Pre-interviews. Everybody likes pre-interviews. I don't do that. We've never done it on Crosstalk once.
Nope. I get that from time to time also with these people. It's WNYC Radio in New York, for example, the PBS station here. I've gotten that several times where, well, what is it that you want to say? And I tell them, and they say, okay, fine, please hold. And then I'm on hold until the program's over.
Oh, wow.
And I know I was the first or second person to call in, but it's all right. The, you know, there is this whole alternative structure. You know, there are ways. RT is a big help in getting information out to people in English language, Spanish language, you know, Arab, all over the planet, really. And forget what the, you know, this is what gets me. People point to RT, to the Sputnik, Press TV, the China Global Television, all these things. Well, you know, those are funded by the state and they have an agenda. As if corporations, private corporations owning almost all of the media in the United States, spend billions of dollars. These are people who, by the way, can, you know, come through Madison Avenue, you know, where they're basically what they're doing is selling stuff for money. That's their day job that funds these things, as if they don't have an agenda.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's still on because I don't watch CNN on a regular basis because I simply can't. But not long ago, they had, I think it was like on the weekend, they had this like Middle East market program or something like that. Mm. And it was such a complete whitewash. A complete whitewash of the dictatorships in the Middle East. But they make shiny buildings, Don, and they have nice escalators. And man, that air conditioning is powerful.
How
but
modern.
They never, ever said anything about the nature of these countries and how they're ruled, okay, whatsoever. And I have to believe that those Arab fiefdoms and sheikhs and all that, they funded that program for them, okay? It was, you know, It was really softball reporting. Okay, they had a nice little rubric, and it's funded lavishly to make these dictatorships look normal, like us. Okay, no, we're not Wahhabis. Sorry.
No. You know, the some of the programming on the weekends in particular, but during the week as well on CNN, there are actually these, you know, 2 minute long, I don't know, 90 second long, rather lengthy infomercials for Qatar, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and they are exactly that, projecting these modern images of, you know, very advanced and shiny new societies. And of course, you don't hear any coverage about, well, women aren't allowed to vote, they have to, you know, wrap themselves in you know, tinfoil or whatever.
How migrant workers are treated?
Oh, yeah, for sure. How half the population aren't citizens and never will be, so that they're kept in a state that would embarrass the people that oppress, you know, fruit pickers here in the United States.
Yeah, in the export of a radical ideology and lavishly funding it.
Yep.
Okay. This is when, you know, I look at the Trump administration looking at the Middle East, I mean, I just roll my eyes and shoulders. I mean, I don't know who's talking to him, because, you know, calling out Qatar for terrorism and backing up Saudi Arabia, I mean, that's just surreal. I mean, yeah, just simply surreal. You're left speechless.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, finally, I just think, what's your opinion about what the likely fallout of this is going to be? Because there is certainly, you know, a peek behind the curtain big time coming out of this, you know, expose at CNN.
Well, you know, at first blush, I don't think a lot, because I think too many people are involved in doing exactly the same thing. I mean, it's CNN that got caught, but I think everybody else of their ilk is doing the same thing. However, it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, you're closer to it, the Trump people are getting their PR strategy a little tighter. This is an excellent cannon fodder for them. I mean, they won't get it in the East Coast and the West Coast, but I mean, you turn this to an infomercial for the flyover states, and it's going to echo exactly what people are saying, is that this is a nothing burger. There's no there. By the way, where are the jobs? we elected you to Congress to take care of the economy. What's going on? I think it can flip that way. Depends how they use it. I'm not going to let this go. You're not going to let this go. This is going to go on for a while. I mean, when I saw it the first time, I just thought this is a gift from God.
Yeah.
I mean, because as we started out our conversation, this is exactly what I expected. I didn't expect the prophet cynicism so strong, because I tend to see them as being very ideological, and that is profitable. But this is just truly amazing. I hear that there's going to be another video shortly, and it's going to raise a lot of eyebrows too, so we'll see.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.